There are two versions of the life we live. The one in our heads, the idealistic, romanticized version of life. The one from the storybooks, the one we crave and desire. The one that is so disconnected from the world we live in often. But sometimes we fly there in order to feel soulless from the chaos of the world that we live in down below. And the reality of the nitty-gritty of day-to-day life and the hard work that needs to be put in to create that romanticized life in our dreams. Every time these parashiyot come around, I think about that dichotomy. The dichotomy of Terumah and Tetzaveh, the version of the Mishkan that Hashem creates, the Mishkan that Hashem commanded of us, the version that wasn't actual, that wasn't real, but simply a figment of holiness, a figment of God's imagination. And then the fact that there are all these psukim dedicated to Vayakob HaKodeh, the Jewish people doing the nitty-gritty, investing, putting time, actually creating that vision, and how much God appreciates, emphasizes, puts in the practical day-to-day nitty-gritty of our lives, and how the actuality is sometimes so much greater than the ideal. And there's one idea in this parasha that really brings that out, and that's the idea of the kiar, the wash basin, and the material that was used to create it. I think as a girl, we always learned about this idea of the sanctity of the Jewish women. But as I relearned the concepts, I realized how deeply and powerful they were. So let's go back and take a deep dive into the power of Jewish women and the power of the mirrors. Parshas Vayakel, it says, Vayasas akiyar nechashas v'es kanay nechashas b'marais hatzva'ais asher tzavu pesach o'amahed. And he made the washstand of copper and its base of copper from the mirrors of the women, because it says it in female, who had set up the legions who congregated at the entrance of the tents of meeting. Then Ibn Ezra says, what were these mirrors? These mirrors were basically given away from women that they were such holy women and they wanted to separate themselves from the temptation of the world that they literally gave away the mirrors as a donation and said, we are above the physicality of the world. We are above this beauty standard. We're not going to subscribe to it. We're going to give away the mirrors that were given to us and we're going to give it to the wash basin. But Rashi says something that is the exact opposite. The mirror served a really powerful purpose. That the reason why these mirrors were used, what were these mirrors? Literally, they took the copper mirrors from these women and created the kiar. And where were they from? B'nais Yisrael hayu b'yadan b'marais. That the Jewish women owned mirrors. Shiraisen b'hem k'shehen mitzkashtais. They would use these mirrors, they would look into them when they were adorning themselves and making themselves beautiful. And they do not hold back by even giving these beautiful mirrors they would use to make themselves beautiful in the Mishkan. And Moshe got so angry at them, he got upset. He said, these mirrors, what are these mirrors used for? To make yourself so beautiful, to basically make the men in your life look at you. Why is that these mirrors that were used for temptation, that were used to get the Yetzirah, let's say, why on earth would we use these mirrors for the Mishkan? It's used for materialism. It's used for lust. It's not used for higher spiritual growth. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kabel. And Hashem said to him, no, Moshe, you're wrong. Take them. Ki elo chavivin alai min hakol. Because these are the most precious to me from everything else. Because through this, these women created legions of people from Egypt. And Rashi continues to explain the Midrash that when the Jewish people would come home, when the men would come home, ba'avadat perach, from working so hard, they were not interested in being intimate with their wives. They weren't interested in having relations with their wives. They weren't interested in bringing children into this dark world. And the women, what would they do? They would make themselves beautiful, even after they had worked and been enslaved. They would make themselves beautiful. And they would look in the mirror and they would say, I am more beautiful than you. And in a way, trying to flirt with them, trying to get their husbands to be with them in order to them to have beautiful children with them. And these mirrors ended up being the reason why there were legions of Jewish people that left Mitzrayim. And if you think about it, you would think to yourself, okay, Moshe's not understanding. These mirrors were not used for something negative. they were used in order to do the most beautiful thing. And I think, you know what, if I'm going to be transparent, we don't really always grow up with these messagings. Sometimes because we grow up in the way that we've grown up, we often think, is there beauty? Is there something to be celebrated? These women use these mirrors to make themselves beautiful, to flirt with their husbands, to create children. And you would think to yourself, why would that, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, why would these things want to be in the Mishkan? And even more so, the Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want you to destroy these mirrors. He got so upset. The Midrash Tanhuma says it differently to Rashi. Rashi changed a little bit. Talo maklais v'shavro. I want you to break them. Break the legs of these women. Very intense. Hamaris lahem hein tzrichen. What do we need these mirrors for? And Hashem said to him, Al elo atam avaze, these you're going to destroy. Because of that, there are people here today. You're not recognizing the sanctity and the power of these mirrors. The fact that these women made themselves beautiful, used their femininity, used their attractiveness, used the power that they had as women in order to create beautiful homes. They saw what the men didn't see. They saw the future in a way that the men couldn't see. They were so broken, the men. They weren't able to see what their intimacy and what their relationship could accomplish. And the women were able to do that. There's something really powerful about mirrors. And I love this story that one time the Rebbe went to Machon Chana. And he walked in and he asked Rabbi Majeski, where are all the mirrors? And ever since then, any seminary or Jewish women's organization, you know that there's a lot of mirrors, because mirrors are something that is actually really powerful. What's the idea about mirrors? Chassidus tells us that there's two types of glass. There is translucent glass, glass that you look straight through, but as soon as you put a little silver piece onto the mirror, onto the glass, all of a sudden the mirror becomes something that looks back at you. In Chassidus, we call it Or Yashar, and Or Chayzer. Light that is Or Yashar, light that seeps through, and Or Chayzer, light that returns. And it represents two stages of our lives. And this is shown in Shir HaShirim. In Shir HaShirim, we talk about two stages of life. He says, there are times, Kina Savavar, Vagesham Chalaf V'Halachlai. In Shir HaShirim, it talks about the time that the winter has passed and the rain is gone. And Hanitzanim Niru Ba'aretz. All of a sudden you see blossoms have appeared, and the time of singing has arrived, and the turtle dove is heard in our land. That's the one time of life when everything is beautiful. Or Yashar represents the translucent glass. When you see life straightforward, when you see the beauty, where you see the truth, where everything is obvious to you in life, where you have that clarity and you can see the future, you can see that idealistic version of life that speaks so deeply to you. But then there's a different time in life. The time when things are hard. And in those times, it says, Hareini es marayach, hashmini es kolayach, ki kolayach arev v'marayach naveh. There are times that are hard, and we cry out to Hashem, show me your appearance. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is pleasant and your appearance is comely. And the word marayich is from the word mare. This idea of mirror. We ask Hashem, I could only see myself. Or Chayzer, I can't see the future. I can't see what's ahead of me. I need to look back at me. And what happens when we look at a mirror? When we have that, when it's dark and we can't see, and there are things thrown at us in life, there is a silver glass. We can't see through the mirror. We can't see through the glass. There is a reflection. When things are hard, when there's something blocking us, when there's a silver piece that's blocking us, it's forced us to look at ourselves. When you look in a mirror, you see yourself. You're forced to stare in the mirror. That's exactly what happens when life is hard. When life is hard, it's Or Chayzer, a time of looking at yourself, looking, not just looking at yourself physically, but looking at your soul. Every time you have a challenge in life, it forces you to look back at yourself and see, how am I going to be better? How am I going to accomplish more? How am I going to work on myself? And I think that's really life. When things are clear and you see through it, often you're like, why are these things being thrown at me? Why am I not being able to see? Like, I feel everything's so ambiguous. I can't see forward. It's very frustrating when I can't see my future, when there's so many things blocking it. But Hashem is giving me an opportunity to work on myself. Hashem is saying, you can't see the future. You can't. This idealistic version of your future starts with you looking at yourself first in the mirror and saying, how can I work on myself? Because you can't see forward, it's time to reflect. And it's like the most powerful idea in life. When there are blockages, there's no point trying to push through the blockages. It's a point of reflection. It's time to sit back and look at Chana, be Chana, what can I do to work on myself? Because obviously there are things that I need to do in order to see future. Because right now, the only thing I can see is myself. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was different. It says in Yavamais that all the prophets gave through clouded, opaque glass, but Moshe saw shining translucent. And we see it, that every time it says about the Nevi'im that they saw the future, it says, Koyamar Hashem. But with Moshe, it says, Zeh Hadavar. For Moshe, it was Zeh. Everything was clear to Moshe. But for the Nevi'im, it was Koh. It was ambiguous. Moshe Rabbeinu saw everything future. He wanted to break the glass mirrors. He was like, what are these mirrors? We want to see future. We want to break through everything that's difficult for us. When there is some sort of difficulty we see, when some sort of blockage, we need to break the blockage. We need to move through. And Hashem said, no. When things are hard, what do you need to do? You need to reflect. It's a time of self-work. Working on yourself, when there are challenges in your life, it's an opportunity to look back, not look forward, to look back and see what can I do to work on myself. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. These women were looking at what they could work on together in order to get through the challenges. And the deepest, most difficult things, they were looking within. They were looking at themselves, looking at what can I could accomplish. Not in a physical way of saying like, I am the best. No, they were saying, we have so much depth. We have so much femininity. Let's use that. Let's use looking within in order to build a future, to use the challenge as an opportunity to move forward, not try to break through. Because breaking is not the natural process of what is happening. We first need to self-reflect and look back and work on ourselves. And then the more you work within, the more there is clarity. And then the mirror, hopefully, becomes a translucent place that we can see the future. And that's why we say, Harenius Mareach Hashminius Kolech, Ki Kolech Arev Mareach Naveh, wishing you a beautiful Shabbos.